to the Buckmaster Show for Monday, January 31st, 2011. Hope you had a great weekend, probably as good as any weather in the United States this weekend. But we'll go from spring to winter as a couple of hard freezes coming our way yet again later in the week. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are live weekday mornings from 9 to 10, then the program re-airs in its entirety from 7 to 8 p.m. here on KJLL. The lineup for today includes our bi-weekly political face-off. We'll have a newsmaker interview with the mayor of Marana, Ed Honey, and Congressman Raul Grijalva will be talking to us from his office here in Tucson. The Buckmaster Show is primarily an interview-driven talk show, but there's always room for listener comments and questions. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 529-3508. We begin with our bi-weekly Monday political face-off with commentators John Munger, the former state chair of the Republican Party, former Republican candidate for governor, and Vince Ribago, former Democratic candidate for the Arizona Attorney General and former Pima County chair of the Democratic Party. Gentlemen, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Good to see you, Bill.
Good to see you, Vince.
Gentlemen, when the Republican leadership at the Capitol in Phoenix began this 2011 legislative session, they were vowing that nothing would get in the way of solving the state's sea of red ink problem. Yet the ongoing controversy over questions about President Obama's birthplace and the multi-state compact to challenge birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment are seemingly derailing the focus of the budget. Would you agree, Vince?
I agree 100%. I mean, if we're going to fix the budget, let's fix the budget. I remember two sessions back, they held all bills. They were not going to consider anything. I think it was in the House before they tried to resolve the budget. So there, nothing was done. People were just twiddling their thumbs the whole session long while they purportedly worked these backroom deals on the budget. This year, you know, we're just in as dire situation as we were before. Worse because nothing's been done structurally with respect to the tax code. And then you see these bills trying to hunt coyotes at night. I saw Frank Antonori wants to hunt coyotes at night. We've got people trying to put guns in college classrooms. We've got people talking about the birth certificate of the president and trying to force him to again prove that he's well, everyone already knows that he's a citizen. And then you have this attack on the 14th Amendment, trying to roll us back, frankly, to pre-Civil War days with respect to being born here, you're a citizen in the 14th Amendment. So I think it's a huge distraction. I think it's irresponsible to push those things, and I'm sure that there's plenty they're going to say, oh, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. But the reality is, these are serious budgetary times that we're dealing in. Let's get to the business of structurally fixing the tax code so that we have a responsible situation for governance and for revenues in the state.
John Munger, can you walk and chew gum at the same time at the Capitol?
Sure, absolutely. We got 90 legislators up there. And they don't always sing from the same tune. But as Vince pointed out a couple of years ago, when they were focused on the budget, and thank God they did, because they cut deficit spending to the point where now we don't have the sea of red ink that many states have. We're in relatively good position. We're not going to go bankrupt. Many states are. We have a deficit problem, but it's eminently solvable, and that's going to get solved. I'll bet you, and I'll bet Vince a nickel, that we can walk and chew gum at the same time, that we will, in fact, solve the deficit problem this year.
At what cost will we solve the deficit?
Well, it's got nothing to do with these other issues, number one. There will be a cost, but it's got nothing to do with these other issues. Bill, we conservatives have been telling the state and the country for decades, you cannot spend this way. There's going to be a day of reckoning. And it's here. We're out of money. We're broke. I was telling you before the show, I had somebody from the university say, well, you conservatives are so rigid. And I said, rigid how? I mean, if you think it's rigid because I'm telling you we're broke and we have to cut the deficit, and that the only way you cut the deficit is take some money from the people that are getting it If that's rigid, so be it. But we're broke, and we need to finally get real about it.
Well, you know, John's not willing to put up much money, more than a nickel, on this bet. I tell you what, I'm
willing
to put...
Will we take the nickel?
The way things are going, I'm willing to up that ante to a whole lot. That what's going to happen is the current Russell Pierce Republican leadership is going to destroy education in this state. It's already well on the way, underfunding it, cutting it, giving out huge tax breaks to entities that don't need it, refusing to fix the tax code. You see, it's not just an issue of we're broke, therefore cut spending. The problem is much more fundamental in a structural sense with the state budget, with how and whom is taxed and how it works. And the reality is the current leadership, no one is willing to get rid of the tax breaks for giant corporations, many of which do not really pump any real money back into the state. And then at the same time, they're underfunding our university system, underfunding education. They're giving out money in the forms of tax credits to private educational institutions, which to me seems sort of it's a misnomer. If it's private, why are they taking public dollars and public tax credits? So there's a lot of problems that could be fixed to bring in more revenues in a balanced way. I think you could lower everybody's taxes, get rid of those loopholes, and if everybody paid a fair share, we would have a stable revenue source. And then it's not just a question of take out the battle axe and carve, 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 cut, cut, cut. It's something about reasonable solutions in this state. That's what we need.
Vince, first of all, there are no huge corporate tax benefits in this state. And that's what we're talking about, the state budget. It just doesn't exist. The total state tax for individuals and corporations is around 5 or 6%. We do not have huge corporate tax breaks. They just don't exist. If you're against funding, having people have a right to direct their education dollar to the school of their choice, then you and I just differ. I think students and parents want that. They are entitled to that. And so that's fine. But what you're talking about in the end, and it's always what the liberals talk about, a new way to raise taxes. They want to talk about, well, we'll do a different tax structure. The different tax structure is, and he said the words, revenue increases. They don't want to deal with reality. It's like your family budget. You can't play games. You have so much money, and that's how much you have. And now you can raise taxes and you can call it whatever you want. But it is raising taxes however you do it. Yes, we need some tax restructuring. But using tax restructuring to increase revenue is nothing but a tax increase. So
Is it a tax increase?
No, that's absolutely false. Let's talk about the real facts. He's mischaracterized history. Let's talk about since 1990 in the state of Arizona, there have been approximately 40 tax cuts. So in other words, the amount of revenue that was coming in, there have been 40 separate tax cuts on the general fund, on other areas, to the tune of probably $3.25 billion. And if you add that into the mix, I mean, that alone was part of the issue when the real estate market dropped out and the tax base disappeared. See, it wasn't a case of people just going out hog wild, let's just spend. This was all tied everywhere across the country. This is fact. Across the country, budgets were slammed when the whole real estate mortgage crisis hit. So that was part and parcel of what happened. And when you have leaders that cut and cut and cut, so that state government, which provides essential services, whether it be education, cops, streets, transportation, sewage, when they already are lean and mean, close to the bone, and then you want to keep carving, claiming that we're spending like, you know, drunken sailors when it's not true, that is a fundamental problem of history and reality, because we've seen it. And the issue is this, and we can talk about the
point.
Let's talk about the philosophy.
Yeah, sure. He says you don't know your history.
Well,
John,
Here's the history.
Okay.
He's talking about, number one, he's talking about not spending money. Let me tell you, when Janet Napolitano took office, the state budget was $6 billion. By the time she left office 7 years, 5 years later, within 5 years, it was $11 billion.
Almost double.
It's not that we have a revenue shortage problem. Our revenues have gone up every year. We have increased spending by almost doubling it over a five-year period, and now we're paying the price. This is not a revenue problem. Now, again, what Vince is talking, so that's real history. Now, what Vince is talking about is, once again, raising taxes. He's trying to justify it by saying, well, we've had tax cuts in the past, which is true, but he's still talking about raising taxes at a time where we're trying to create jobs. You can't do it. You can make all the excuses you want, but he's trying to justify a tax increase by saying, well, we've had tax cuts in the past. Yes, but we've had double the spending in the past few years. And if, Bill, if we were to go back simply to the 2006 budget, we would be break even. Well, okay. Nobody was saying in 2006 that we were short. We weren't short. Why not just go back to the 2006 budget? That is not decimating education.
Quick word before we take a break, Vince Ribago. Give me about 30 seconds, and I'm going to take a commercial break.
The reality is this, is that over the history of cutting those $5 billion worth of taxes over the years, of revenues, it has left us in a precarious position. When the markets crashed, everybody's budget crashed. That was part and parcel why we had the budget crisis. Separately, the reality is, at the end of the day, it has not been proven anywhere that merely cutting taxes is going to produce this economic manna from heaven. And that's the philosophical difference here. It hasn't been proved by the Republican side, and that's where we are today.
Well, Jack Kennedy seemed to think it was true, and it resulted in one of the greatest economic booms in the country when Jack Kennedy cut prices. So even your Democrats disagree with you.
John Munger and Vince Ribago, they will be back in a couple of minutes. This is the Buckmaster Show, the biweekly political face-off, starting us off on a Monday with a few fireworks. We'll be back in a moment.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator, artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website, sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
It is is 21 minutes past the hour on this Monday. I am Bill Buckmaster, and the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. This is the biweekly political face-off. John Munger is to the microphone left of me. Hey, we should have gotten this backwards here. And Vince Ribago is to my right. But regardless of that, Vince, we're talking a little bit about history. And you said John doesn't have his history quite
well,
right.
Well, and what I meant by that is just the fact that there have been cuts to the various state taxes to the tune of about $3.5 billion, about 40 separate cuts since 1990, and frankly, over the last couple of sessions, that was the amount we were short by. Now, naturally, the cause of that was the crisis with the subprime mortgage crisis, the meltdown. Arizona was of course, is overly reliant to a fault on just sales tax revenue, and so when that whole market dropped out, that was the cause. It wasn't as if government officials were out there just spending willy-nilly. Those were decisions that were made, such as all-day kindergarten, all these other decisions that were made based on a current set of circumstances where the money was there until the market dropped out. Now, what I'm saying is at the end of the day, you know, we have not seen this job development growth as a result, direct causal result of those cuts. And so all I'm seeing here and what I hear is a one-tone approach. Let's just cut more, cut more, cut more. No, let's look at those loopholes. And so I disagree strongly with John that there are not companies that are not paying their fair share. It's here. It's happening. There are many, many loopholes. In fact, they did a study, and they couldn't figure out even how much money we're not taking it from those that are not paying one red cent.
You're talking about the federal budget.
No, I'm talking about state budget. State budget. Yeah,
the money is not being collected.
Correct.
Vince?
No, they're just not even subject to taxation. Okay. So I'm just saying, look, you could lower everybody's taxes. I'm as fiscally conservative as John on some levels. I think we need to pay our bills, but the problem is not everybody's paying their fair share, and that is a fundamental unfairness. Everyone understands that, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent.
I will tell you, Vince, that 50% of the country, 50% of the population of this country don't pay any income taxes at all. If there are people that are not paying their fair share, it's that 50%. The top 5% are paying 70% of the income taxes in this country. You want to talk about unfairness? That's what's unfair. So if you're going to start raising taxes, what you're talking about, and I'm not pushing this, you are, is suddenly having people who aren't paying taxes paying more, because that's all that's left. But this is not. And again, you're talking about raising taxes. That's the fundamental difference, Bill. You can call it tax restructuring, you can call it anything you want.
I think Vince was talking about tax collection.
I'm talking about both that and also collection from those that aren't paying. I'm talking about lowering the rate for everybody.
Jack Kennedy cut taxes in the early 1960s. It resulted in the greatest boom this country had had at that point. Ronald Reagan did it again, and we had the greatest boom all the way through the 90s. So every time we cut taxes, it spices up the economy. Now, when you're fighting a housing debacle, as we've had, that is very difficult to overcome with tax cuts, with anything. But now is not the time to raise taxes, whether you call it restructuring or not. And I point out again, Bill, this is not an income problem. If we went back to the 2006 budget, instead of doubling the budget over the past 5 years, if we simply went back to the 2006 budget, we wouldn't have an income problem. We've got a spending problem because we've doubled our spending, and that cannot happen.
The reality is I'm not just saying, hey, we've got to raise taxes. That's not the issue. The problem is those that are not paying. He's dead wrong about the fact that there are loopholes left and right in Arizona's tax code. That is recognized across the board by experts.
So you're saying fix them.
Fix them. Fix the loopholes. Lower everybody's tax rate. So he keeps trying to throw it out like I'm raising taxes. The reality is we could lower everybody's.
Are there enough loopholes to fix?
Look, Bill, you cannot tax people at a 5 or 6% rate. And even if you let them out, which is what we do at the state level, and then claim there's some big tax loophole. There's not enough. If there are tax loopholes out there, there's not enough
to fill
this kind of budget. And I challenge Vince to come up with all of these loopholes. They are not, and how much they're worth.
How much do you think they're worth?
That's the issue. Is and we'll talk about ideology. Last session, the House Democrats actually presented a plan and said, look, we need to cut these loopholes. We need to have a full examination of the issue, present this, rather than just bring out the axe and cut. And you know what? It was not even considered. That the problem is the ideologues who are in the leadership, including Al Melvin, said, you know what? It's time to make the budget bleed.
I know what he's talking about.
That's the reality of it.
He's talking about putting a sales tax on the sale of your home by taxing sales on homes. He wants to tax the sales of CPAs and professionals. They want to expand the sales tax to tax people that aren't businesses, that aren't. All that's going to happen is going to get passed to the consumer, Bill. The businesses aren't going to eat that. So the question is, do people want to pay a sales tax when they sell their home? And I don't think they do.
John Munger and Vince Robago, let's take a quick phone call. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. I didn't realize I was on. You know, wanted to point out that 50% of the people may not be paying taxes, John, but we have never seen this sort of wealth differentiated in this country. When you see all these, the upper 1% owning, you know, over 50% of all issued stock in this country. And we have not seen it at this level. And then you couple that with all of the offshore tax companies, Fortune 500, 70% of them don't pay any taxes whatsoever.
Well, look, if you want to redistribute income, which is what you're talking about, then you and I are in a different wavelength. I disagree with you that there hasn't been unequal distribution of wealth, and there is going to be unequal distribution of wealth. If you think the answer to that is to use the tax system to redistribute income, you're a long way towards it already when you have the top 5% paying something between 50 and 70% of the taxes in this country. But if you're for redistribution of income, that's not I disagree with that. The answer is to create jobs. And the answer is to get the government off the back of business so that people can start their own small business. And right now, it's too complicated and too regulated.
We've only got about a minute left. Vince Robago.
You know, I agree with the college perspective, and I would add this, that the reality is this is not income distribution. You have corporations. Let's talk the national level, national issues, where we have companies that outsource American jobs. They don't pay one red cent in taxes, and it's about supporting America. If you want to support America, like I do, then you should pay your fair share. You shouldn't outsource American jobs, and that's a big part of the equation.
I have no problem with that.
Tax fairness is all we're asking for.
That's about national taxes, not Arizona taxes.
John Munger and Vince Robago, thank you very much. The bi-weekly political face-off on the Buckmaster Show coming up on 30 minutes past the hour. In about 4 minutes, we talk with the mayor of Marana, Ed Honey, will be here in studio.
Listen to this.
You're tuned into Tucson's best choice for local talk.
I love it, huh? Little back and forth, witty repartee.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. A little more than 200 Americans escaped the chaos in Egypt today. Janice Jacobs at the State Department says a lot more are trying to get out.
We have several thousand Americans who either live in Egypt or who are visiting there right now. So we want to make sure that anyone who needs our help is getting that.
Two charter flights set up by the U.S. government left Egypt. Thousands of people are protesting today, ignoring a curfew put in place by the Egyptian government. A potentially life-threatening blizzard could be on the way to the Midwest. Forecasters say the storm is expected to start in the Central Plains tonight. The government has some new guidelines about what you should eat to stay healthy. You should cut back on salt and saturated fatty acids. Americans are spending more and saving less. The government says incomes were up and spending was also up in December, which economists say is a good sign for recovery. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one's silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Our place is about to turn into Game Day Central, but this year, I'm ready.
Sam's Club member Paula Rickenstein.
Tasty appetizers, snacks, ice-cold drinks, even 3D HD TVs, all at great savings.
Like a Vizio 42-inch Razer LED 3D television for just $9.97. Plus, join now through February 6th and score a gift card worth up to $25.
Bring it on, Game Day. I'm putting Sam's Club in.
Learn more at samsclub.com/entertaining. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Well, the cash-strapped Arizona legislature may once again be looking to Arizona cities and towns to help bail the state out of its current sea of red ink. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Ed Honey. Mr. Honey is the mayor of Marana. Mayor Honey, good to see you. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Tell me about this. Looks like what the cities and counties may be trying to, again, to protect their revenue sharing. Do you see Marana taking a big hit this time around or no?
We're hoping not. And the way it looks right now, we don't think any of the cities and towns are going to take enormous hits from this year's legislature. We lost the LTAF funding last year, which was a couple hundred thousand for a community Marana size.
LTAF?
That's the lottery.
Lottery money, basically.
And most of us use that for transportation funds, so we're going to have to make up those funds. The HERF funds have kind of been redistributed. Those were for repairing streets and roads, and also for the DPS. And I think they changed that structure somewhat, where DPS is funded entirely up front, and then the pro rata distribution goes on. But that didn't hurt us a lot. State revenue sharing has dropped some, but it's because of the economy. And that seems to be pretty safe at this time.
What's the budget picture look like for Marana? While the city of Tucson's been really struggling, do you have all your ducks in a row over there?
We have a very strategically sound budget. Yes, we do. We balanced our budget last year, and we're looking for about the same amount of revenues this year and about the same budget. We've cut our budget over the last 2.5-3 years about 25%. And I attribute that to good leadership in our management and in our council, that we would live within our means. We did not ask our citizens to raise taxes.
Your police and fire staffing levels okay over there?
Police levels are fine. When we adjusted our budget, we did make some cuts in some social programming. But we left certified police officers at the current level. We did not close any parks, and we left our streets and roads department at the current level. And if you notice, coming into Marana, our friends in Oral Valley, our streets and roads are in pretty good shape.
Well, you had a new park that went online recently, I think, at Silver Bell and Katerra. Silver
Bell Crossroads Park. It's a 48-acre park. Behind the Walgreens and the Wheeler Taft Abbott Library there at Cortero and Silver Bell. There's a dog park, there's basketball courts, there's walking trails and biking trails, and it's getting a lot of use, and we're very, very, very pleased with that amenity.
And you've got an RTA project that came online, the Twin Peaks, right?
Twin Peaks project was about $112 million. There were two projects, actually, the Twin Peaks Interchange and the Twin Peaks Camino de Mañana Roadway. Of that roadway, about $35 million came from the town of Marana through impact fees and other funding. About $35 million from the RTA. We had federal funding, state funding, a little bit of money from the county, and also some private sector funding of about $5 million.
Let's talk a little bit about Gabrielle Giffords. You've had a wonderful professional relationship with Gabby Giffords. She came to, I believe she came to bat for the town of Marana over, was it the flood issue?
Yes, it was. It was the FEMA issue. After Katrina and the Mississippi floods, FEMA was really in debt on a national level. And what they did is they started adding other areas all across the country into the FEMA map. What that would have meant in Marana is about the northern two-thirds of our community would have been placed in the FEMA floodplain. That would have lowered the value of homes and businesses, and also would have raised everybody's mortgages anywhere from $200 to $400 a month to pay flood insurance. We went to FEMA and said, hey, this is not right. We've done floodplain studies, and you shouldn't be putting us in a floodplain. And they just kind of laughed at us a little bit. So we asked Senator Kyle, Senator McCain, and Gabby Giffords to interact on our behalf. Senator McCain was running for president, so he didn't have a lot of time. Senator Kyle did send a representative, but Gabby Giffords jumped in with both feet. And to make a long story short, she got a bill introduced in the House, which made FEMA stop and look at what we were doing. And the Reader's Digest version of this is it will save the citizens of the town of Marana $7 to $9 million a year forever.
That's big time.
It's big time.
So she really came to bat for you.
She really did.
Even though you and Gabby Giffords are not on the same side of the political fence, it really didn't matter in this instance, did it?
It did not. And, I don't know who the person was that said all politics is local. My job and the job of the Marana Town Council and senior staff is to protect the citizens of the town of Marana. And Gabby Giffords stepped in and helped us do that.
Were your police and fire called in on that horrible day, January 8th? Did they cooperate?
Actually, we don't have fire. It's Northwest Fire.
Northwest
has
fire,
all of the
of
town
course.
Of Marana, which was the primary, I believe, for that event, and did just an excellent job. Chief Petura and all of his staff were honored for that and really did a great job. Our police did offer assistance. Of course, it didn't happen in the town of Marana, but we did have officers at the memorial at the university, as did most of the cities and towns in the region, and there was tremendous cooperation all through the valley.
Coming up now on 41 minutes past the hour, this is the Buckmaster Show, and we're speaking with the mayor of Marana, Ed Honey. Mayor Honey, want to talk about tourism. February, of course, is prime time for tourism here in southern Arizona, especially Tucson. So many activities going on, and you have a very big one, the golf tournament at Dove Mountain.
The Accenture Golf Tournament, February 21st through 25th at Dove Mountain in Marana. And we're really excited about this. This will also, this puts about $50 million, it's been estimated, into the region. And what that comes down to is hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs over the year. It helps all of us. The new Twin Peaks and Camino de Mañana roadway will also tie Dove Mountain to 10 hotels and motels in the Marana area over in Continental Ranch, as well as 15 or 20 restaurants. So we're thinking that this will be a really good year for Marana. We have primarily been breaking even before, even though it's bringing a lot of money to the region, but we're hoping this year that we'll do a little better than that.
How did Marana manage to get the Dove Mountain, the golf tournament, and the hotel there, which is huge for your community?
What happened, this is the foresight of David Meal. And David Meal and his brother George built La Paloma years before, and David had a dream to bring a major resort hotel to the region. And when he came into the Dove Mountain area and bought the Oak Caton Ranch, one of his dreams was to build a five-star resort. He came to us and started working on the plan, and of course we were very receptive. And David needed to get his plans done in a hurry. Normally it would take about a year to approve all the plans for a $500 million resort and golf courses and things. And David asked us to expedite that, which we did. And we actually outsourced the plans under our direction and got them done, I think, in about 6 months instead of a year.
So you really fast-tracked
them. Fast-tracked them. And Mr. Meal told me after the fact that had we not done that, there probably wouldn't have been a Ritz-Carlton, because the economy started to crash right about the time they started building their resort.
You know, the first time I lived in Tucson, I came out here from Chicago to go to school from 65 to 69 at the U of A, and I remember Marana was basically one very small little village and cotton fields everywhere. How much cotton is even remaining in Marana?
There's still quite a bit of cotton in ranching, but Marana has grown from 1977, when we first incorporated, up to about 126 square miles now. We go from about Sunset Road to about a mile inside Pinal County. We have roughly 35,000 people, and we've been one of the most successful communities in southern Arizona.
So the mix, you feel, is still pretty good with agriculture and industrial development and residential development.
Absolutely, and they can work together.
How much? What kind of planning are you doing for the future so that everybody can coexist?
Well, what is happening is a lot of the farming and ranching community are looking at developing part of their lands. It's a way to generate revenues. Farming and ranching is really tough in this country anymore, with all the regulations and a lot of product being bought from overseas. So it's making it really tough. So I look for a slow transition from rural to urban, but I think it could take 20 or 30 or 40 years for that to take place.
Any annexation plans in the future coming up?
We're looking at some areas going north. I said we're in Pinal County. We're talking with Pinal County and Pinal Air Park. We see that as an area where we could build a large industrial base and create a lot of jobs for the region, including the town of Marana.
Mayor Ed Honey of Marana has been with us on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much. Good luck with the golf tournament coming up in late February.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. We have Congressman Raul Grijalva coming up next on our Buckmaster Show Live Line Newsmaker interview. It's about 45 minutes past the hour.
When I gave the word, now in the morning I sleep alone.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website, sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at ferroamorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
It is 48 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show on KJLL and BuckmasterShow.com. On the Buckmaster Show live line is Democrat Raul Grijalva, United States Representative from Arizona's 8th Congressional District. Congressman Grijalva, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you for inviting me. How are you?
I'm doing very well, sir. Thank you very much for coming on the program. And you were kind enough to be on our program during our launch week, our premiere week, the first week of January. So this is the first time I've had a chance to talk with you and for you to share with our listeners some of your thoughts since that horrible day, January the 8th. How are you getting along after that day?
Well, I think it's been tough on everybody and certainly been traumatic for our city, but one thing I've never been, as I've said before, never been so proud to call Tucson my home as I have been during the aftermath of the tragedy, and the good news is that Gabby is recovering, doing well. It's still a long road for her, but a road that we're all confident has a point where she will return to her duties and continue to represent her district and in the manner in which they've not only become accustomed, but in the manner that they support very much. So that is the good news. The bad news is and the tragedy is the loss of life, good people, and from that there will always linger this. The feeling of, I think, between numbness and to some extent horror.
Congressman, let me ask you about this new call for civility. Do you see it really happening back in Washington?
I think the tone is going to change. I think, as you well know, having dealt with the politics of this community and this country for many years, that.
Almost a quarter of a century, I might add.
That the differences and the disagreements are part of a healthy democracy, and that I don't think is going to change. What I hope changes, and what I believe will change, is the tone of the rhetoric, the civility of the debate be upgraded, and that as Gabby personifies it, you can disagree but not be disagreeable. And I hope if anything comes out of that, that people will focus on the quality of the debate, the content of the debate, and not the the harsh rhetoric that unfortunately people have become accustomed to.
Has your office stepped up to help out the 7th district?
Initially, we did. I think there's
excuse me, the 8th district.
Ron and Pia, the chief of staff, and Ron, the director here, they've got their office humming like they've always had, and so much of what we were doing was just a short stopgap, and they're fully functional and taking care of their constituents as they always have. So what we did was just to try to relieve some pressure during the tough initial times, but as of a couple of weeks ago, they've assumed their responsibility fully, as they always have. So they're functioning as a full functioning office, as they always have.
We're speaking with Congressman Raul Grijalva, Democrat from the U.S. Representative from the 7th Congressional District of Arizona. At the beginning of this interview, I may have said the 8th. I'm sorry about that, Congressman.
No.
The situation with Egypt, some of your thoughts on that. That looks like it's going to be a big trouble spot. What does the United States, how does the United States react? What should our role be in trying to get the two sides?
One of the things that I think is imperative that we do is a soft landing. I think the Obama administration and Secretary Clinton need to show the international community that America will be a leader in supporting a peaceful independence movements, democracy movements in the Middle East and throughout the world. And when the transition does occur, it's not if now, when the transition does occur, to be in a position that that we support a free democratic Egypt. We should use all diplomatic channels available to us to support a peaceful, democratic process that that engages all the political groups. And I think we can hope for a soft landing on this issue. You know, Egypt is critical to the whole Middle East process since the peace accords of 1978 with Israel, and we need to be engaged, but not engaged in a manner in which we are the opposition to a movement to make Egypt more democratic, but on the contrary, that we're there to be to help facilitate that transition. I think that should be our role, because it is so critical. I think the more instability there is in the Middle East, the more we jeopardize any peace process, the more entrenched the opposition becomes to Israel, and the more difficult it will be to try to forge some level of peace in the region. So it has implications throughout the Arab world. It has implications throughout the Middle East. It has huge implications for Israel and huge implications for the United States. So this is about a soft landing, and I would say a very careful and measured approach on the part of the Obama administration and Secretary Clinton in how they approach this issue and how we're perceived in response to what's going on in Egypt.
What do you think of this effort to overturn the 14th Amendment that's going on up at the state capitol?
It's going to be another, constitutional birthright is in the 14th Amendment for many reasons. It dealt with the issue of slavery. Dealt with the issue of a 3/5 of a human being, and but I think if we just talk about that as the only issue, we're going to get into the same kind of rhetorical debate that goes nowhere. The issue of the 14th Amendment also has to do with equal protection under the law. It has to do with discrimination, and that's the Equal Protection Clause, and it has to do with due process. And so the 14th Amendment is much more expansive, and once you start opening a potential Pandora's box on individual liberties, due process, equal protection, and constitutional citizenship, you're you're tinkering with something that I think can have very negative ramifications across the board. I think what's going to happen is that we're going to find ourselves in litigation again, and the Supremacy Clause will again be the issue, and, you know, the issue of state nullification of parts of the Constitution is something that any administration, whether it be Republican or Democrat, is going to fight. There are overriding laws that protect all individual citizens, regardless of what the preference of an individual state would be. One of them being protection of the Constitution and its amendments. And I think we're going to have that legal test once again, as we're having with 1070, and potentially we'll have on a bunch of others. It is going to be an expensive, bitter, and once again, a debate that I think is not unnecessary and really serves no purpose other than to continue to flame some divisions in this community that need to be healed rather than exposed any more than they are.
We only have about 3 minutes to go, Congressman Grijalva, about health care and Obamacare. What's the latest from Washington?
Well, we're going to what's the latest, I think, which is something people should really pay close attention to, is going to be the whole issue of the budget reduction, the debt ceiling, and efforts on the part of my Republican colleagues in the majority to deny expenditures for the reform effort under health care. Those will be the three pitched debates that will go on when we return the 6th, 7th, 8th, all the way through the 14th of February, when we have to decide in a continuing resolution to keep this the government afloat. So it's the budget, it's the debt ceiling, and it is the individual categories that fund the reform plan on health care. It's this next 2 months to 60 days, it's going to set the tone. It's all going to be about the budget, how much we cut, where we cut it. That's going to be the debate.
Is there a danger of the government shutting down?
Well, I think if we don't do a continuing resolution, there certainly is. And while that might seem as a necessary punitive act in the eyes of some, it would be a default by the United States government. And the consequences of that would affect millions upon millions upon millions, if not every American in this country. And some of the cuts that are being talked about in education, in law enforcement, in small business, and food safety, manufacturing, et cetera, could end up costing up to 1 million jobs in this country. So there's a serious push on the part of the majority in the House of Representatives to make these cuts now. And many of us believe that it took us 10 years to get into this hole, and that the plan should involve deficit reduction and balancing the budget over an extended period of time, and not try to do it with an axe overnight.
Congressman Grijalva, thank you for talking with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you
very much. Raul
Bye-bye.
Grijalva, United States Representative from District 7 on the Buckmaster Show. We have a full lineup tomorrow. The Episcopal Church Bishop, who will be visiting Tucson next weekend, this upcoming weekend, will be on the Buckmaster Show live line. Also a Gem Show preview. And General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, some of his thoughts on the Egyptian situation. I am Bill Buckmaster on KJLL AM 1330 and on BuckmasterShow.com. Have a great day.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
Hello, you're on the air.
KJLL, South Tucson.